It's good to worship with you together wherever you are. We have a few announcements today, and then we will share some prayer concerns as we begin worship. Next Sunday, February 7th, is the day we plan to all be back together here worshiping as we were in the fall. All of the same precautions will still stand. We will have youth and children's Sunday school. Adult classes will still be meeting at their own discretion. Yes, we will have nursery. No, we will not have children's church, but we do have activity sheets outside both of these doors when you come next week. Yes, please still wear your mask. And no, please do not come if you are sick or have been around anyone that has been sick of any kind. And please remember when you come, we have marked off every other pew. And if there is a red X in tape, that means do not sit there, please, so we can maintain social distancing. And Poplar Springs can still be a safe place for us to come worship together. Youth going to Caswell. I heard from so many of you this week. That was wonderful. Please get your deposits in. That's $65 by this Wednesday. Those deposits are refundable if something happens, but I will need to cut a check and send that off. We do have a few spots left, so please email me, call me, text me, and let me know if you'd like to be added to that list, if you have any questions, or if you need to meet me somewhere to turn in your deposit. I also heard from several of you wanting to go on the mission trip. I'll be cutting that check for deposits as well, so I will send out an email to those of you who have signed up. If anyone has questions about the mission trip, please contact me this week. And Wednesday nights, adult Bible study and some form of youth will happen, not this week, but next week, February 10th. And we will let you know through our texting system what that looks like for adult Bible study and for youth. A few prayer concerns for us today. Please be remembering the family of Frances Henson. That's the mother of Nadine Harris, who passed away this week. Also Beth Godfrey, the mother of Mandy Costner, who's dealing with COVID. For Michael Griffith, the father of Lauren Baldwin, who's recovering from surgery. And for the family of Richard Philbeck, who's the father of Megan Philbeck, who's passed away earlier this week. Would you pray with me? We pray together today as the body of Christ, and we lift up those in our congregation who are hurting, for those who are sick and those who are caring for loved ones who are sick, for those that are heartbreaking and grieving, for those who are filled with concerns and doubts, and for those that seek guidance and protection, peace and discernment. And we take a moment to lift up other requests that we may have, unspoken requests within our own hearts. As Andy comes today to remind us about being different parts of one body, your church, God, we ask in advance that you would prepare our hearts and minds to hear from you today. May we be a people that will step into our various roles for the betterment of the body and not ourselves. May we be eyes that take time to see, not just what we want, but what you need us to see. May we be ears that have learned to listen to what you are saying around us, and not just ears that hear what pleases us or excites us or infuriates us. May we be arms that are held out, inviting, open, and gentle, ready to embrace the least of these, and not arms that are crossed in selfishness, anger, or disgust. May we be hearts that continue to beat with love that isn't conditional, hearts that are free from the bondage of sight, that we may be willing to do the hard and inconceivable work of loving the ones others would cast out. May we be legs that are strong enough to keep moving forward even when the path is unforeseen and our training is yet finished. And may we be small but powerful toes that give support to the entire body, providing balance and stability to the many other parts as we seek to do that which you've called us to do. And Father, knowing that we are imperfect and fully capable of messing things up over and over again, will you grant us your holy, powerful Spirit to bind us together in unity and purpose as we strive towards obedience, all of us with our different jobs. And may we be vessels of peace and justice, grace and mercy, as we seek to do your will. Amen.
That was a great song. I appreciated that beautiful music this morning. The scripture I'd like to read this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Can you join me as we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the giftedness that you bestow upon each and every one of us. We all have a job to do in the church. We're all part of the body. I pray, God, that you give us wisdom and strength as we perform the work that you've called us to do. Give us courage to do the things you ask of us. I pray that you give us the strength to do everything that you need us to do. I pray, Father, you'll bless us as we worship today. I pray that you'll speak to us. Open our hearts and minds to hear a message from you today. We thank you for the beautiful music we've had today so far. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for just being together with all these good people today. I pray, God, you just bless us as we serve you and as we worship you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I find it interesting to talk to other people about what their view of the church is. Obviously, it's a group of believers, those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In the Greek language, the church is called the ecclesia, the called out ones. They're called to share a common purpose, to share the gospel and be the arms and legs and feet of Jesus in the world. We have a job to do. We're the called out to do that. On the negative side, some see church as a social organization or a recreational outlet. That's all it is. Or maybe an indoctrination center where people are encouraged to let someone force feed them their opinions instead of seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The church for me, because I've had the privilege of growing up in and serving wonderful congregations, is this. The church is a family. The church is a family. I believe that with all my heart. We disagree at times. We bicker at times. We bear with one another. We forgive. We love because we are part of God's family, saved by the grace and mercy of God, evidenced in His Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And we love each other, warts and all. It's family. That's what it is, in my opinion. Because I grew up in the church, I still have friends who seem more like cousins than church members. I saw them more than I saw some of my kin folks. I saw them a lot more. I had teachers who seemed like favorite uncles or aunts. There were leaders in the church who seemed like parents sometimes, even into my adult years, leaders who treated me like a child. We served Mount Olive Baptist Church in Stokes County for 36 years when my kids were small. It was a great place to serve, a wonderful place. It was a family. Church security folks, you'll not like this, but I don't recommend it, but this is something that used to happen there. Kim and I would go to the nursery and after services, and our kids would be among the missing from the nursery. Nursery workers would tell us, the Smiths picked up Ben and took him to the farm. They said you can get him later on this afternoon. Aaron and Ethan were picked up by the Halls, they would say. They would decide to spoil them for the afternoon. They were among family. And the atmosphere was fostered by a tremendous pastor at that time, William Pope, a great man. For him, church was family. Church was family. You ate together. You laughed together. You cried together. You enjoyed time together. There was an important thing to do. I'll never forget men's fishing trips to Curie Beach where we men went to fish. Preacher Pope once ate all the shrimp that was to be used for bait. He did that. He ate all the shrimp bait. Along with my Stokes County grandpa, Rupert Hall, they secretly secured the fresh shrimp and boiled it and ate it. Two things happened. We started using rotten shrimp for bait. And the legendary family story was started. A story about eating the shrimp on a fishing trip. A story that grew more spectacular as it was told. Preacher Pope used to love it when a person decided to sleep on fishing trips, when they decided to sleep in. You know, sleep a little extra, a little longer than everyone else. He would wake you up, guitar in hand and strumming and singing with an ugly black cowboy hat on his head. Mama, don't whoop little Buford. That was an important thing, very important. It was very fun. I enjoyed that. Preacher Pope was a special person. We were family, and church was family. I love that about Mount Olive. I love this about the churches I've served, the family model. It's important that we become family, very important. I love it about Poplar Springs. I miss the Coach's Corner. I miss the Hammock in Wessonville. I miss the Balcony Brigade. I miss the Forbidden Zone. I miss the Melting Pot. I miss all those groups. It's very hard to come here and preach in front of an empty place. Next week we'll have some of you here. It's very important that we become family. But in Romans, though he's not forsaking or discounting this concept of family, he describes the church as a body. The body. We don't need to forget it's a body. Or like a body, a human body with a variety of parts. The church has a variety of parts, each with its particular function. We have a job to do. Each part working together for the common good. That's what a family does. They work together. When I was in college, I finally discovered that in Management 101, what the word synergism meant. Let me see if I can get that right. What the word synergism meant. It's a word that I'd heard before, but I couldn't figure out what it was all about. I'd heard it discussed in business circles before. Heard it discussed in other ways. Synergism. Differing parts working together can accomplish more than the individual parts working separately, or something like that. Working together can accomplish more than us working alone. Paul is talking synergism here. Synergism. The church practices synergism if it's doing its job correctly. We are a body of differing parts. We have different jobs to do, working together to accomplish a purpose, a common purpose. That purpose is sharing the good news of Jesus. It's great news that we have to share, and we share it well when we do it together. It's living it out in the world, letting folks see us in the world, being the kingdom, being the body of Christ. It's being the kingdom of God in a secular society. And in a culture that quite often differs with us, and at times is even hostile toward us. It's worshiping and it's serving. That's the purpose. We're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The parts of the body do not argue over who is the most important and who is unnecessary. We don't argue about that. We need all of us. All the parts have a role, an important role, a very important role. It often sounds trivial, I thought, when I used to hear that a quarterback or running back had turf toe. Turf toe. It's just a sore toe, I would think to myself. It's not that serious, it seems. It's a toe. But you can see the effect in an important game. Mobility and speed are sacrificed because the toe doesn't work correctly. And as Nicole said in her prayer, balance is affected as well. The small toe. Have you ever had an ingrown toenail? It's painful. It can put a human in quite a bit of pain. It can put a person in a lot of pain. I thought the ailment was so trivial. It's just a toenail. It's just a toenail. It was so insignificant that I attempted amateur surgery on my toe one time when I had that. The result was a trip to the doctor's office and I was off my feet for a couple of days. That little toenail meant something. In my 30s, my right arm decided to stop working. I was curling dumbbells and I noticed I was curling on one side and not on the other. The assessment was I had a viral invasion in one of my biceps. My body was not operating at 100% because a part wasn't working. In the human body, all the parts have a purpose. All the parts have a purpose. And all the parts are important. As small and trivial as they are, they all are important. The church, according to Paul, is like a body. The members of the body do not argue, envy, dispute, or about importance. Each part carries its weight, performs its function. This is the church. This is the church. Your job in the church is important to the functioning of the congregation. If you need to be prepared to carry your, and you need to be prepared to carry your weight, we have to do that, no matter how small and insignificant the job seems. What does this mean for the church today, the body of Christ? What does it mean for us today? How can we take this word about the body of Christ and employ it every day? The first thing is this. Find your function. Find your function. Get to know your role. What is your giftedness? Get to know it. It doesn't happen overnight. It comes after a time of trial and error at times. But get to know your role. Get to know what you do well. I love the Kevin Hart commercial where he's telling his neighbors about the new credit card. It's a great commercial. He's yelling at one of his neighbors and the neighbor says, "I'm right here, Kevin. Why are you yelling?" And he replies, "That's what I do. That's what I do." Kevin Hart knows his function. He yells. He loudly proclaims. Paul says if a man's gift is prophesying or proclaiming, prophesy and proclaim. It's what you do. If you're called to serving others, serve. It's what you do. If it's teaching, teach. It's what you do. If it's encouraging, encourage. It's what you do. If you're called to give, give generously. It's what you do. If it's leading others, lead. It's what you do. If it's showing mercy, be merciful. It's what you do. Under the leadership of God's Spirit, determine what it is you do. Determine that. And do your job in the body. Your efforts are needed. Do your job in the body. Next, it's not your job to mope or moan and complain because you don't think your efforts are flashy enough. All roles are necessary. Not everybody gets to be front and center. It doesn't work that way. Jesus himself set the example for the disciples and for us. He set the example as he took a basin and a towel. He washed his disciples' feet. And when no one else volunteered, I might add, he then said, "I've set you an example. I've showed you what to do. You should do as I've done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The little things, the insignificant things. Some folks are going to be called to do the dirty work. Some folks are called to do the... We're all going to be called to do the dirty work at some time. It's what you do. It's what you do. I'm reminded here of Cousin Eddie in the Vacation movies. You know Cousin Eddie. It's Clark Griswold's cousin. No, his wife's cousin. Clark Griswold is his cousin-in-law. Eddie did not have a job because he was holding out for a management position. Sometimes in church we have those holding out for a management position. When there's work for the body to do today, we can't hold out. There's work to do today. Be aware of that and think about that. Remember, your purpose and your gift comes from God. We all have our general overall purpose in the church. We all have things we all do. We live the teachings of Jesus. That's what you do. We share the good news of Jesus with other people. We worship Him. We make a difference in the world in service. We do those things. But God gives you a specific purpose and the giftedness to do what you do in addition to our general expectations. Hindsight is 20/20, but I realized my purpose for 20 years as a so-called minister of youth were these things. I was actually a minister of miscellaneous for 20 years. Called and gifted to do many things in a satisfactory way, not a great way, but a satisfactory way. Give the churches I served a good experience with their first full-time staff member. I needed to do that. And leave after 10 years so they could get a real youth minister. I felt that was my job after I've learned that after 20 years, after being a pastor for 16 years. In the process, I discovered some other purposes and gifts to use. I learned this. I like getting out among people. Before I got awkward, I was good at it. I used to be more social, but I look for excuses to go to Ingles. My wife will say, "Andy, we need some eggs. I'll go get the eggs. We need some milk. I'll go get milk. We don't have to have a snowstorm. I'll go get it anyway." I look for excuses to go to Ingles. I enjoy deacons' meetings. Yes, I enjoy deacons' meetings. I like meeting with the church council. I miss the organized chaos on our Wednesday nights. Those are things I miss because I'm a social person. I realize that. I like to write. I feel like I write better than I speak. I feel like newsletter articles are my thing, and I enjoy putting them together every week. It's something I do. I enjoy. I remember when God changed my mind about newsletters. I was in Stokes County. I was tired of writing newsletters that included lines like these. Wow, didn't we have a crowd at the big youth conference the other day? Wasn't that great? Or weren't the Clara Pillsbury's brownies delicious at Memorial Day covered dish lunch? Stuff people heard every day. I decided it was time to change things up a little bit. And I learned some lessons in the process. I ventured out into left field, way out in left field, and started writing articles like Why I Love My Church. I wrote a 3-installment youth ministry article about a burned out youth minister entitled The Young and the Useless. It was autobiographical. I wrote one time about suggested country songs for the church. That one got me in trouble. People were appalled, intrigued, disgusted, troubled, but interested in what the crazy guy might say. But I found a purpose. I found a purpose in that. I can make a holy point with a humorous story. I realize that. I've said all that to say this. Have you discovered your purpose, your gift, and is that what you do? Have you discovered it, and is that what you do? God wants you to do something with it. Finally, never forget what motive means. Never forget what motive means. It means something. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Is it for money, recognition, and fame? Is it because you're afraid of God or what people might think? Is your power, motive, power, and prestige? You do it for the kingdom of God. You do it for the kingdom of God. That's where the treasury is, not in these things. Please take the time to read Matthew 5-7, the Sermon on the Mount. That's what a Christian does. That's the life of the Christian. But one particular passage stands out, Matthew 5:14-16. It goes like this. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it lights the entire house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. And here we have the motive in the last little bit of this verse. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that people will see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. So that people will see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Our motive is that God gets the glory for all the good we do. It's not about me. It's not about you. So, I hope you find your purpose. I hope you find your purpose. And I further hope that God gets the glory. And when that happens, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished when that happens, when God gets the glory. I hope you use your giftedness so that God is exalted. I hope you do what you do faithfully to build up the brothers and sisters, the church, and God's kingdom on earth. I hope that's why you do it. Let Jesus show you what it is that you do. Let Him show you what you do, and then do it. Do it. It all starts with you relinquish control and say, "Jesus, forgive my sin. Forgive my sin. Come take control of my life. I want to be used for your purposes, and I want you to get the glory." Is that something you'd like to do today? Is that something you'd like to do today? If so, let God use you in the body. Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessedness of being able to study your scriptures. We're thankful, God, for this word from Romans. And I pray, God, that you'll just continue to speak to us through the remainder of this week about how we can be a part of your body, even when we're not here in the congregation. We have work to do. And I pray that we'll find our giftedness, that we'll continue doing what we do as Christians, but we'll find our special place that you want us to be, or the special thing you want us to do, and that we'll do it. And we'll be ready and willing to share with others the message of Jesus Christ in our actions. Father, make us sensitive to the needs of those around us each and every day, that we might be a people who meet needs in the community and in the world. Father, I pray that you'll, if there's someone listening today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they might seek his forgiveness. They might ask him to come into their heart and life and live for him each and every day. They may follow him, live for him every day. There's someone here who is not quite taking their faith seriously. I pray, God, that they'll think about it a little bit and commit their life to Christ wholeheartedly. Father, if there's someone looking for a church home, I pray that they might see the need to find a church home somewhere in our community, be it here or somewhere else. They need to be in a place where they can be with other believers, find the support there of them. Now, Father, I thank you that you've given us a time and a place to worship. Pray for those who are listening today. Pray that you'll speak to them today and speak to all of us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Different pathways, we are. Church family and all those watching, we want to thank you for joining us this morning. If you've made a decision this morning, or if there's something on your heart you'd like to speak with one of us about, we encourage you to reach out to us, call us, email us, find us on Facebook, reach out to us. We'd love to speak with you and hear about what's going on in your life and your relationship with God. Last week, I said Andrew Day was your deacon of the week. That was wrong. Andrew Day is your deacon of the week this week. So if you have any concerns, you can reach out to Andrew Day. If you can't reach us at the office, you can also reach out to your deacon if you need anything this week. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you for the chance to worship you this morning, God. We thank you for meeting us where we are, whether it's here in this church, in these four walls, whether it's in the walls of our homes, in our car. God, no matter where we are this morning, God, thank you for meeting us there. God, we are looking forward to next week when we are back together, for those of us who feel comfortable in doing so. And God, I pray that even as we are scattered in various places, God, that you would remind us that we are a part of the body of Christ. God, that we are a part of your family and that we all have a purpose. And God, you are wanting to use each and every one of us to accomplish your purposes and your plans in this world. God, help us to be excited and spurred on to be members of your kingdom and to further your work. God, be with us as we go into this week, God, and may we be beacons of your light and of your message. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.